I'll do the intro. Okay, I'll do the intro. It's fine.
Okay.
You've got your quote ready. All good.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast. My name is Richie. With me, as always, is Farley. Say hello, Farley.
It's a me, a Farley.
Hey. We are... I've already said we are That Guy's a Maniac. We are a podcast about video games. And you can find our ramblings on www.thatguys.co.uk. You can also find us on the socials at That Guy's a Maniac. All one word, all lowercase. Hey, excellent. Brilliant. See, you're carrying part of the intro there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Great. And you have a quote for me, Farley, uncharacteristically.
I do, Richie. Because of we're doing season three and we need a gimmick, this season's gimmick is that we do give each other a video game quote. I guess which video game it's from. It's a very good gimmick, everybody.
It's way better than The Office skit. Way better.
Yeah, the podcast is on board with this gimmick and we are sad to see it go. Here's your quote, Richie.
Whoa. What do you mean we're sad to see it go?
Oh, did you not? We didn't get enough funding. This is it.
Oh.
This is the end of the podcast.
Right.
Season three.
Okay. Right. Okay, give me the quote. Let me do it.
Is that all we're doing about the end? Okay, fine.
No, but I mean, we'll talk about it. Let's get the quote done.
Okay, I just thought you'd be more cut up about it, but you seem quite chipper.
It's because you said season three. Because that's a little hint. They're like, oh, there might be another season.
It might be another
cliffhanger. Season. Cliffhanger.
Do you want a quote?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think you're going to get it.
Oh, great. Well, that's exactly like every other one of the quotes then.
But it's thematic, so.
Tough. Thematic. Okay, go.
I am the end. I am here to bring you to your ultimate.
I am the end. I'm here to bring you to your ultimate fate. It feels like every video game boss. Is it Japanese?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Is it a Final Fantasy of some kind?
No, it's not. You have eliminated 100 video games. potential pull.
Yep. Okay. Is it a Square Enix title?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. A Capcom one?
No.
Nintendo?
No.
Well, I was thinking it might be the evil finger in Smash Brothers.
I don't know. The Master Hand doesn't speak.
It has words under it when it exists. It has captions.
Does it?
I think so. I want to say it does.
I think it just goes, whoa, whoa.
yeah, maybe. Okay, so I'm a little bit lost. Namco Bandai.
No, but keep naming video game companies.
Namco.
Know.
Atari.
No.
Sega.
No.
This is really hard now.
Think of some of your favourite games.
Some of my favourite... Konami.
Yes, it's a Konami game.
Is it a Metal Gear... reference?
It is a Metal Gear reference.
Is it Metal Gear 1?
No.
Is it Metal Gear 2?
No.
Is it Metal Gear 3?
Yes!
Yes! We got there.
It is a quote by the end from Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Do you know what? I used to, and if you read the blog, you'll see this. I used to really dislike the Metal Gear Solid game, series of games after the first one.
No.
But as I age, as I get old, I'm starting to appreciate them more. And although, you know, Hideo Kojima, or to take it or leave it, he had some really good bits to his game. So one of the things he's very good at is coming up with a compelling host of bosses, I guess. And in Metal Gear Solid 3, you had the end, the sorrow, the pain, and the fear. And the end was a legendary sniper who was over 100 years old.
Okay.
And, I played it on the... I watched my brother play it on the PlayStation, and then I bought it on the 3DS and played it on the 3DS, which is an amazing achievement to squeeze that game onto the 3DS, honestly. Because when it first came out and it was camouflage and you have to hunt to eat. It's kind of like a linear survival game, I guess. But like all Metal Gear Solid games, there's stacks of secrets and weird things, and in this one there's ghosts. But with the end, there were two ways in which you could beat him. I forget the specifics, one of which is you engage in the sniper battle, and there's another one where because he's so old, you just go away and then he dies of old age.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like that whole in Pokemon Go, if you don't choose one of the starters and walk away, you get Pikachu instead. It's
exactly the same.
Yeah.
Extremely relatable.
I feel like you're mocking me. It's not very nice if you are.
It's good. No, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page and it actually says that under trivia. Oh. Many players. Many players.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Many players attribute the success of Metal Gear Solid 4 to Pokemon Go by ripping off that core mechanic.
Yeah, despite the fact it came out many years earlier.
Final Fantasy did, eh?
Right. Okay. Well, like the end, this is also the end.
Ah, oh, see what you did there. Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
It's the end of the intro. It's the end of the podcast. It's the end of this creative relationship. It's the end of comparisons between video games.
It's the end of season 3.
The end of season 3.
So we're going to go away for summer. And, I don't know, do things that don't involve microphones?
Probably
not. Yeah. And then we'll be back for season 4, will we, Farley?
I mean, don't know. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
We've got tens of readers.
No, we don't.
Well, if you add them cumulatively.
Yeah.
Tens of readers.
Tens of readers.
And we can't let them down.
No, no, I mean, absolutely. They must know what we're going to talk about next.
Where will they get their hot takes about Resident Evil 2, World of Warcraft, and the Pokemon series of games, if not from That Guy's the Main at the podcast?
Exactly. Hot takes. Hot. In the same way as a Deliveroo driver has got that pizza to your drawer, slightly lukewarm.
It's a very long-winded but contemporary reference.
Yeah. Thank you for rating my reference.
<That's all right. laughs>
Maybe we can make that feature in season 4. Rate my reference.
Your reference. What's the Metacritic line again? Mostly favourable reviews.
Mostly favourable reviews. Okay, cool. How many Metal Gear The End endings where you walk away out of 10 would you give it?
I'd give it 3. Metal Gear Solid 3. Skip the boss battle by letting the boss die out.
Oof, 3 out of 10. Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah, in hindsight, wasn't that good.
Yeah, seems so. Right, so we have a podcast and we need to have content in our podcast, Farley.
Shall we start the content now?
Let's start the content now.
Great.
Am I even
what
recording?
Is this? Yeah, are we recording?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Good, okay. What do we... What's the theme of today's podcast?
Right, because we're not very imaginative, I thought we could, because this is going to be the season 3 finale, let's talk about other ends in games.
Mm-hmm.
Different types. Games that perhaps don't end. Games that are episodic. Games that have new games pluses. Mm. And games that actually just end.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough talking about that? Shall we just end the podcast?
Let's talk about... So, back in the day, in the old arcades, most game... Oh, I don't know if that's even true. Most games would end normally when they would start to freak out.
your score got too high, or
some kind of bit of code didn't function anymore. Then, skipping a huge chunk of gaming, we started to get some games which had a beginning, a middle, and an end, right?
A narrative. So, yeah. I was thinking about, like, when the narrative sort of first hit, Mm-hmm. I would say that there weren't that many sort of NES era games that perhaps had a full narrative. They would have text on the screen, but it wouldn't be a lot. And a lot of games you would just have to headcanon. Like things like Altered Beast. You didn't know why this guy was sort of half man, half
famously so, and yeah. Nobody ever found out what the end of that game was.
Well, yeah, no, because it's fucking hard.
It's so fucking hard.
But the narrative, it was very, very basic. But then came the SNES, and then you started getting pretty much epic JRPG operas.
Surely not. I'm gonna chip in here. Surely not. Surely all those text adventures and point and click games.
Point and click games, I would still say, are around the same sort of time. But actually, now that you sort of mentioned text adventures, there was like a few on the NES. But I think when we hit the SNES, that's when you started getting a bit more sprawly narratives and perhaps options for the story to be a bit more, or maybe a tad less linear, but like actually have story options to sort of affect the game a bit more. I don't know.
I don't agree with you, but what's an example you think of when you think of that?
Well, when I think of like SNES RPGs,
When you think about narratives, stories.
So I'm thinking of like the Final Fantasies and things like that. Now, when I say that, I'm automatically thinking, oh, I'm an idiot. Of course, you had them on the NES as well.
Mm-hmm.
But only like one or two. Or maybe one and two. And then when I think SNES sprawly RPGs, I think like Breath of Fire, Chrono Trigger, and some of the other Final Fantasies. And I think that's where those kind of narratives sort of come in to play. Because I feel like, or at least by today's standards, most games are narrative driven, or there's very few that don't have a storyline. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you're talking about this, all I can think of is Amiga platformers.
Yeah.
And even though the story might be all of the Kiwis got captured.
Yeah, or all of the baby trolls have been captured, go and find them. Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
And I get like most Mario games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
She's been captured.
But I think like as you move forward, and even those games like the Mario games, like looking at say Odyssey or even Mario Sunshine, there's a narrative that's a bit more driven than go and save the princess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more dialogue, there's more saving other things and doing things in different orders as well.
Yeah. It's not hugely complex. I mean, sometimes it is. It essentially boils down to beat this boss so you can get over this bridge or open this door. But it's a beat, definitely.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. I didn't think you'd take this tact at all, because you're normally the mechanics man. And I'm normally the narrative man.
Well, I think the narrative in, like, where games now have an ending plays a very, very important part in describing how a game ends as well. You know, so there will be a story, it'll come to an end. And one of the things I wanted to get onto or talk about around this was specifically New Game Plus,
mm-hmm.
where you have the wonder and glorious opportunity to spend another 120 hours mm-hmm. playing through that RPG again. This time you get to save your sphere grid, or you've got your extra power-ups, but you still have to go through the storyline. It's odd, and I always think the New Game Plus, where it sounds like, or in practice, or on paper, on paper it should be an amazing thought, but how many new game pluses like have you gone through, like for perhaps a large JRPG you have played?
I'd say hardly any.
Yeah.
Hardly any at all. It's interesting. Do you know which game coined New Game Plus?
I'm gonna say it was a Final Fantasy.
It was apparently Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, okay.
But the idea of New Game Plus, and this is where I want to perhaps do some drilling down, was around a little bit before that. Like in Legend of Zelda. But yeah, that's the first game to use New Game Plus. And I think now it is a bona fide, as it was since 1995, apparently, I've just learned, option on the menu screen, right? It will pop up with New Game Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly games that I've replayed a lot, and you were recently playing the demo of Resident Evil 4 and struggling a bit, is that fair to say?
Yeah, so the Resident Evil 4 demo, yeah, that was surprisingly hard.
But I did say that the first time you play through it, when it first came out, was also hard, because...
Yeah.
And I've played that game probably more than most, replayed that game more than most, because essentially that has a New Game Plus built in that you start again, you've got your gear, but importantly, you upgrade your gear and also you upgrade your life bar.
So yeah.
That first time is really solid, also because you're learning the game.
That's the other thing, is like I was very much learning the new controls, the new system. And also, I kind of forgot what I was supposed to do, so I ended up. I just needed to survive.
Yeah. Bide your time until the bell rings.
Yeah, literally all I needed to do, and I forgot that. And I think that's good, because that means I am looking forward to Resident Evil 4, because I've forgotten quite a few things there.
Yeah. And you were saying that from the demo anyway. It seems to be quite a faithful remake.
Yep.
Whenever I have played Resident Evil 4, which as I've mentioned before, it's quite a few times, there are whole chunks of that game. Oh yeah, I forget you go to this island, that horrible military island, and I forget there's that giant statue, and oh yeah, I forget there's that
giant really troll.
Yeah, it really goes places, that game.
Yeah.
Before it loops around. But in reference to your New Game Plus thinking, you're very rarely. I'm quite happy, we all have, in a true and just world, you could just play video games how you want. But because we're all weird, we all have these strange rules that we bring to them, and we're kind of encouraged by the games industry to be playing all the new games and buying all the new games, even though they produce actual infinite hours on a weekly basis. So these days, I think it was probably true before, unless I really, really did like it. So I think things like Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 4, probably the Tomb Raiders, a couple of the Pokemon games, but honestly not that many. I have replayed. But the vast majority, I'm happy to hit the credits and be done. And then I guess there's a different way in which games do New Game Plus, right? Some of them, there's something different to do. Some of them, like the Nier games, give you, I don't know how many, you have to play through it X number of times to get just keep getting different endings to that game based on what you did in the game, in the previous game, and what you've done in this game, which is kind of neat, and I can't really begrudge it. Because as we've seen with Elden Ring, as much as we would theoretically poke fun at it if we ever wrote for the blog, part of me is really happy that people who really, really love that game, it's just the game that they play, right, most of the time.
Yeah.
And there's the ability for them to keep playing their favorite game. I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of just to very quickly interrupt and ruin your flow, you touched on Pokemon. Like, yes, you can replay that game, absolutely. And you can replay it because you want to, I don't know, play the blue version versus the red one, you know, that sort of thing. But also, there is the concept of endgame for a lot of these titles.
There's a... I guess... So those games, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII Pokemon, where you can hit the credits, and then when the credits end, it kicks you back into the game that you've just been in.
Yeah, you're literally at the end game before the boss character, and you walk in a different direction, and you let the end die. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, literally, you do let the end die. Then you can go off, and you can power up, and you can grind, or you can find optional bosses, and yeah.
Yeah, but also, after you finish the game, there is more game, right? You can still log into Pokemon Yellow after you beat it. And in fact, there's bits you couldn't do before you beat it. But yeah, you could just endlessly play that game.
Yeah.
Which I kind of... Yeah, again, I think if you... it's not a particularly controversial statement. If you like that game and you got that option, that's pretty good. There are some games which I've played which have a very discreet end to them. And you feel like, oh, I could really do with more of this game, right? Which is why we end up with the world of Infinity sequels. But I think, yeah, as a general rule, I think it really does depend on the game. there are some games, as you kind of alluded to earlier, the 100 hours long games.
Yeah.
When New Game Plus is just like, you wish.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. There's no, even if you do have something different or legendary weapons or somebody's storyline, or you can play as another character.
Yeah, like that's
no
the thing.
Way.
Yeah. No, like it's. I think it was it's Final Fantasy X-2 has the New Game Plus functionality.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think I could face doing that all again. Yeah. You know, like, if I had my save file from, you know, 2004 or whatever, then great, I could come back and play it. But in all actuality, I'm going to play the remastered version of it, so I'm playing it from fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a tough one. And another example of a New Game Plus that I would have loved to have spent more time on. There is... Do you remember... Tales of Vesperia, I've talked about it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It has pretty much solid 200 hours gameplay, and it's great fun, good long story, and it's got like lots of things that happen, lots of side quests. You can do that, but whilst you're playing the game, it also has the concept of gaining what's called gold, rather than gold, gold.
Mm.
And that is basically used as a currency to make your New Game Plus even better.
Okay.
So not only do you get an end game for your first game, where you're pretty much grinding gold, you then complete the game, you get New Game Plus, and you get like options to buy lots of different things to change how the game plays. Yes, it would be faster. Yes, you're pretty much doing it so you don't need to do any of the fighting in the game, or it makes the fighting a bit more dynamic. And then you go through the story. I literally did gold farming for, I don't know, like a week. I spent a week, like every evening, just going through, right, I'm going to do this so that I can get the maximum out of the New Game Plus. Started New Game Plus with all the options, and then immediately felt hollow inside.
Why?
Because all of this goal was to unlock most of, if not all, of the options that I could buy with gold for New Game Plus. And then as soon as I got into it, I was just like, I've you know, a few hours ago I was defeating the big bad. I've seen the epic cutscene. I've now bought all the things, and now what am I doing? Am I playing it all again? And I just couldn't, and it made me sad. Is that understandable?
Yeah, no, it is understandable, and I think that's part of the appeal of restarting a game rather than doing New Game Plus. All these games which kick you into an end game which you can forever spend your time in. So Pokemon is a classic example where when you get to end game, and then you know, typically afterwards you complete your Pokedex, there might be one or two extra side stories, but you never again get that story that's kind of fed to you bit by bit.
Yeah, you also get the feeling of increasing in power or getting new things.
Yeah. So you don't it can be very difficult unless you leave things for so long to recreate that novelty. And there is something fun, which is why I think so many games have a really, really strong beginning. Because I think there's a lot of effort put into making the beginning as compelling as possible. There's also, as a player, there's lots of novelty. And even though particularly RPGs revolve around you kind of leveling up and getting powerful and finding things out and then being unbeatable, there is a lot of fun to have when you are a level 5 guy, and you know if you walk into this wood, you're going to get completely stomped by these mobs, or this boss battle is particularly challenging because you're only at a certain level, whereas if you're coming back and you've got the death spell and you've got infinite items,
you've got the weapon that does 999 damage guaranteed all the time.
It's nowhere near as challenging.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think the beginning of games can be really strong. Middles are typically quite weak, and then I think endings it really varies.
Yeah.
But looking at your Steam library, you know, my backlog, I'm staring at a wall of games, many of which I haven't finished. I do have a lot of time, increasingly, so the games which are just done. You play through the story, you get the credits.
Yeah.
There might be, you know, there's 5 hidden collectibles per level for you to do should you want. Essentially, you're done with that game. There's no end game content, or you know, endless DLC or insane level challenges which demand that you.
I think there's also, like, even if there is those additional components, there's also quite a lot of games where you're happy to say I'm done, like especially like things like Greece, similar games where you're just like, you know what, I got to the end credits, I have no real desire to go back and find any secrets, I'm good. You know you can tell
it's
me
the same with them. A lot of those indies actually, Return of the Obra Dinn, Gone Home, Edith Finch, really, really, you know, short but really, really strong for the journey. And then I felt when I was done, just satisfyingly done.
A feeling of satisfaction that you were done as well. And I think what, like going back to my Tales of Vesperia example, is that feeling of satisfaction was actually ripped from me, because everything that I'd been aiming for was, the next gameplay through is going to be great, and I have to do this now that I'm this invested in the game. You know, I have already X amount of gold, I'm gonna make this amazing. And then I get through the credits and just like, I don't know if I can play this game again. You know, do you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I guess in those examples, I feel it too, is what compels us to want to do that. And a lot of modern video games in particular, as insane as it is, because we've never had more hours of potential gameplay completed in one time. It's built into many of them that if you want this game to go on forever, it will go on forever. You know, we can just keep doing stuff in it. Either because there's something procedural about it, or, you know, there's some rarity gimmick, or there's some insane challenge to do. And the obvious response is that, well, just, if you don't want to do it, just don't do it.
Yeah. So, but what compels us to do it? It's not that. Like, it's usually investment. And games are really, really good at tricking you into that as well. Just like, hey, by the way, did you know, like, again, the gold example, did you know that you're actually already on, you know, 23% of what you need to do all this? And like, oh shit, if I just keep doing this thing, actually I'll look up a guide, oh, I'm now good at this thing, I can just keep going and doing this thing until I get to 100%. And you find a weird groove. What's the word that they use for it? Flow. You get into that flow and you just keep going. And all it's done is push you into playing an aspect of that game over and over comfortably. Flow. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes a currency, I guess. Time is money, friend. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand how it is for video games. Apart from the ones which have egregious adverts. Yeah.
No, I'm not even talking about time is money as in like microtransactions or anything like that. What I'm meaning is, like, there will be a metaphorical game currency of some kind, whether that is you've got like 8 out of 10 of the items to collect on this level, you know. Mm-hmm. Go back, do these things you've already learned and you've got the skills, it'll make getting this thing even easier to tie you in, to keep you coming back, you know. And I think what a lot of the games that you were talking about, there is more of a focus on, let's say, the narrative rather than the mechanics, which allows you to sort of say, you know what, there's no more to this story.
Mm-hmm.
All that's left in the game is mechanics. I'm happy to leave the story there. That's what I played this game for.
Yeah,
the narrative.
It can also make for a better game.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Final Fantasy VII Remake is quite good at this, where you'll run through an area and there'll be a material you can't get. Right? It's the other side,
yeah,
of a wall. You're like, oh, I missed it. And then you run and you'll try every wall and every corner and it's, you know, you can't get it until you come back. And then it, once you see one of those, yeah, that well, if you're a certain way inclined, that then just ruins the whole experience for me. So, okay, you have to check every single doorway and there's a corridor. Whereas in games, I tend to relax a lot more when I'm in a game where there isn't any, you know, you kind of clock after a while, like, oh, I can just play this game.
Yeah.
And it's not a secret route, a secret portal, a hidden collectible. So when I'm presented with a left, middle, right, I have to go left, middle, right. And if I think that right is looking like it's taking me next to the area, I have to go back and do mid. You know, it's just more, I can relax and just play the game.
Yeah.
And
it's like making or deciding that you're going to let this be a cozy game. And a game that allows you to be, sorry, I'm using that term, you probably hate it.
No, I don't mind. No, it's
a zeitgeist at the moment, you know.
It's not, I don't think it's a hallmark of a cozy game. It means, okay, because a lot of games are cynically designed specifically to do that. Right? So you spend your time looping back, going down both corridor options. And it's quite cheap. I think it's really cheap to make you feel like you've done it. And ultimately, when you were saying about, you know, when you've got 28% out of 100%, so the Lego games, which we both like, a perfect example of this, you play through the story modes, and it very clearly on the pull screen says you've done 10%. You're like, oh, that's quite low. And there's a lot of pleasure to be had in nudging that number up. But I don't know how you feel. Every single one of those Lego games, which I have finally got to 100% in, which is, you know, you find all the red bricks, which unlock the multipliers.
Yeah, just
creaming through all this money, buying everything. When I've hit that 100%, I don't think I have ever felt worse about the game than at that point.
Exactly. You literally, hey, I finally got the final character.
Just empty. It's so empty. And you think,
but it's not just that. The other thing is, like, when you're not going through and creaming the content either. Like, unless you're like playing with a guide or a YouTube video or something like that, it's not straightforward. You're getting lots of money, which you can do it, but there'll be like these ridiculous hidden challenges, and I don't know, it cheapens the way you approach the game. But yeah, like, there's a great deal of dopamine which is fed to you, just like, oh my god, you have a times 64 multiplier. No, you have a times 128 multiplier. No, you've got a 1024 multiplier. Oh my god, look at all of the studs, look at the flashy things, make the satisfying sound. Human being, flashy brain, make happy hormones, you know. And I don't know, like, that part of the game that does appeal for those reasons.
Yeah, well, it you know, anybody sensible is like, well, don't do it. Why are you bothering to do that? What do you get out of it? What do you get out of replaying?
You get a night's sleep. You don't.
Three chapters in Final Fantasy VII Remake, we have to do slightly different things in order to get all the dress combinations. Very unlikely you'll perfectly do it the first three times you do it without a guide. Even then, you'll probably forget the first time, so you have to do it at least six times, and it just ruins that part of the game. But for a lot of people, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't have these systems, that making, you know, getting that achievement, passing that game, completing this is what drives people.
Completionism. That is entirely what I was going to say. Like, you get a good night's sleep. You don't go slightly, you don't start drifting off, you know, and thinking, you know what, I never got those last two swords. I just need to go and buy them. I just need to go back to that other seaside resort town, buy those two swords, and that's it. You know, I've got a full weapon armory. Why am I not doing it? And yeah, you just, these are things that you learn to live with. But yeah, it's completionism. And everybody has, you know, a spectrum of OCD, and games are very, very good at, you know, tapping that market.
Yeah. I think if there's a game that you love, it gives you a reason to return. And the new Resident Evil games are very good at that. You know, so the some of the achievements for doing things very quickly, or without using any health, or with only using the knife, just completely change. You know, it's what would have been, I guess, you know, like folk ways of playing games, right? Like Nuzlocke challenges and pacifism modes before
hardcore modes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, within these constraints, these artificial constraints, and then more recently, you know, they're in the game. It approaches the way that I change this game. Changes the way I approach this game, and. You know, each encounter becomes different, and parts of the game which were trivial because you had a submachine gun and plenty of bullets to use it, all of a sudden become, ugh, this section is a nightmare. Yeah.
Or it's like investment in a character that you've mained as well. It's like, you know what, I can go back and I can continue to main this character and do the other special tricks and tips and use the final special move more often, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, can you think Yeah, what's a game that did a new game, had a new game plus option, which you jumped into and really enjoyed?
A new game plus, I suppose you could talk about roguelikes on the same level as having a new game plus.
Not
that's
really.
Basically taking the gamification of new game plus.
Not really, I think, because the fundamental part of the game is through replay. So it's not really new game plus. I mean, mechanically it is, in that you reach a sort of end, or you try and reach a certain end point, but those games thrive, or you know, only start to come alive by you replaying and replaying them.
Yeah.
And the very good ones are kind of rebuilt around that. So there's lots at the moment, lots of roguelikes at the moment where you know, the what would have been a bullet point on the back of boxes when we still had boxes would be, you know, it's different every time you play it through. They are, because as the game you were talking about last week, you know, if you happen to get the
chronologically pumpkin, speaking,
if you get the pumpkin pickup and the zombie hat and the peach dog, then you know that unleashes a range of combos that you wouldn't get. Some people have played it for 1,000 hours and they've never got the pumpkin hat. And then, So I'm disqualifying roguelikes from the new game plus.
Okay, idea. That's absolutely fine. I would say that probably the best new game plus, or a new game plus that I have gone back to several times, would probably be the Devil May Cry series. Now, their new game plus is not exactly massive. Thankfully, the game is, you know, broken up into chapters. Some chapters can take you longer than others, but you learn to get better at them. But within those new game plus, you get to go back with more health. You get to go back with a longer devil trigger. And a few other things, including all of the weapons that you've unlocked. So you get to try out and play those combos. The weapons aren't necessarily stronger or better. It just means that you can use them from the start rather than wait for a plot event to unlock them.
Yeah. There is something especially satisfying. You know, the first time you trounce the first boss that you really, really struggled with, because you become that much better at the game, and because the, you know, the weapons are OP.
It genuinely is that you've got better at the game, or if you're playing on a higher difficulty. But then you start to learn that, like, okay, yes, I need to use Cerberus gloves or whatever, you know, and it's fun using Cerberus versus Cerberus, because I don't know, there's a weird taboo around it. Do you know what I mean?
There's like a timeline paradox. How have you got those weapons to fight them? Because he is the weapon.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that's probably one that has been done quite well for me. But it's not the most epic of new game plus mechanics, in all honesty. Although that being said, you go through and you gain more red orbs, and you farm those red orbs to buy new moves, new power-ups, and yeah, like you say, you can power your character up.
I was gonna mention
I'd forgotten about that.
I was gonna mention the trick that some of these games play to try and tempt you back in is, even if you do a complete perfect run, you are still whatever skill points or red orbs or whatever the currency is short of beating the skill tree. You have to jump back in order to see what, you know, the final level of this is, or you know, to unlock all those skills. What was I playing the other day when this happened? I got slightly annoyed at it. Come on, I just want to fill out these skill trees, you know. I just want to theoretically be the best that I could possibly be, for no reason, because I've already beat the game. I think that's quite a cynical trick that is sometimes pulled. I mean, I guess in some cases it might be. So you have to choose, right? Particularly if you've got like a skill tree which you pay points into. So you can't be great at everything, so you have to choose in your limited capacity. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other new game pluses that have made me want to come back. I guess Streets of Rage 4, because it's actually quite quick and easy to get through the main plot, but there's so many unlockables.
Mm-hmm.
Although there isn't much that changes. I don't know if that is a valid new game plus, just because there's extra characters to unlock. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that can be.
Yeah. I don't think I would ever go back to any of the more recent epic Final Fantasies and play through them a second time.
No.
I mean, I've gone back and replayed games.
Yeah.
Like, with knowledge of knowing how to do it, and therefore I am better at the game. But it's not necessarily a new game plus, is it?
No, it's not.
No. I think one of the Neptunia games I came back and played the new game plus. By getting my character unlocks and massive, like, I was level 178 or something like that, you know. But
I think one of my favourite new game passes is Kirby's Dream Land on the Game Boy.
Okay.
So when you first beat it, and it's quite easy. I mean, the Kirby games are famously easy the first time through. It gives you a button combination to press on the title screen to unlock essentially hardcore mode.
Yeah.
And the game is significantly more challenging. Yeah. When you play it through again, and that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, Wolverine Origins.
Oh yeah. I
played that game to fucking death and did every single one of those achievements, including playing through the hardest mode twice because I fucked up the first playthrough. Yeah, that was a good game. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. Although, I'm probably remembering it rose-tinted.
Okay, so we're not too hot on new game pluses. What about your favourite game that had a hard end, and that's it, and then if you want to play it again, you just have to play from the beginning?
Ooh, I mean, that takes you back to... That probably brings in most of my retro games that I did manage to complete. I would say, like... Oh, I mean, I'm really annoyed that the example is going to bring up is something that we've already talked about in this season. But, like, the Discworld game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a point-and-click, full narrative, full story. You get to the end of it, and then I came back several years later to enjoy that same storyline again.
Mm-hmm.
Like coming back and reading a good book.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's also games that I have, and I'm probably sort of ruining your point here, but there's also games that I've just kind of, you know what, I'm done. I've got my fill of this game, even though it doesn't necessarily have an ending. I would say a lot of fighting games, like Tekken 2, you know, I had a lot of fun. I got through the endings of all of those people. I treated it like a single player because I was just playing versus AI, you know, but I've got to the end of this game and, you know, I'll maybe play Tekken 3 when it comes out, you know, that this is me as, you know, an 18-year-old playing
it. Fighting games and early racing games and kind of that, right, is maybe a bit to unlock, but essentially you're just playing the game over and over and over.
Yeah, I think games that have had a narrative and I've just gone through and played the story. I think like Transformers Devastation.
Okay.
Yeah, like I don't need to go back and play that game again. I enjoyed it, and it was a good hack and slash. I would say probably Bayonetta 1 as well. Like, yeah. I that has so much to unlock, and it has exactly the same mechanics as Devil May Cry, but I'm happy to have just, you know, played it, and I'm kind of, I'm done. I don't need any more.
Yeah.
The Turtles game, you were there when I completed it.
Yeah.
That was great. Good fun. There's still some leveling to do, and I'm good. I can walk away from that. But yeah, I think other ones that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, what was that Marvel isometric one? Oh gosh, I can't remember off the top of my head. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No.
It was like mid-2000s. It was a... Oh my god. Marvel game.
A Diablo Marvel.
Yeah, kind of. But you had a sort of party and basically took you through a Marvel comic storyline, and you got to main certain characters and enjoy it. I played that. I'm happy. I completed it. I can move on with my life, you know. But I'm trying to think if there was any additional things. Do you know what does have a new game plus that I didn't go back and play?
No.
My gacha game that isn't a gacha game.
Oh yeah.
Project Cross Zone. It has a new game plus.
When this game is gonna come
out. Well, I mean,
I almost asked about it, but yeah.
Like, it has a new game plus. I don't think it has or adds any extra functionality to it. I think it's got a slightly harder mode or something like that. I'm gonna have to Google it. Talk amongst yourselves. What about you?
Thanks for
asking. What about you? What are your games that you've been happy to walk
away
from?
Well, the two recent ones that sprung to mind were the Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 remakes.
I was going to bring them up, but I could replay them a lot.
Well, yeah, so I ended up going quite hard for one of them, the achievements. I think it's Resident Evil 2. But the reason why I was happy to do that and to play through and get the footsteps achievement and the no saves achievement over is because the story itself was really, really short, and it struck me when I played it. And kind of got to the credits. I was like, oh, this is so refreshing. This is very 1990s in that you can start, play through, and it kind of has a traditional ending. Yes, you can play as the other mode. Yes, it's got endless replayability. And that's the gimmick. It's not endless modes. It's not DLC. It's not games as a service. It's just, here's the story. And if you want to play it again, which I did, you know, almost instantly replayed it again, it's because I wanted to replay that story. When I played it, yeah, like I said, that just felt so refreshing, and I probably played it more than if it had been games as a service, or come back and play this challenge or come back and do this, because I could kind of do it on my terms.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of really long form games. So we've been playing through the Assassin's Creed, Ghost of Tsushima as well. where I was happy to, you know, 100% those if you like. And then for me, that's, I'm good. I don't ever have to play that game again. I really, really enjoyed the experience. Yeah, I absolutely loved every minute of it. There were parts of me that didn't really want to finish it, you know, because then it meant...
You had that hollow feeling and had to find something else.
Yeah. But yeah, glad I did, and really, really appreciate it. And, you know, might, what's way down the line, kind of replay it. But yeah, game was kind of a hard ending. I mean, it does have a new game plus. Annoyingly, it has like a separate block of achievements for new game plus, and it's only three of them. And like, one of them, I think, you can get very early on, and one of them is the essentially the ruby weapon. Type thing, and that just really put me off. Yeah, ready to ruin the put a bitter taste in my mouth. But you know, I don't have to do it.
No.
Okay. And then, have you looked up Crossboring?
Project Crosszone 2. It's not very interesting. Basically, you get to keep your combat points, which is a system to level you up and your characters, and also items. I forgot you collected items from bosses as well, so you can give items to other characters, which is quite fun. So you can give like Jill's Mind Thrower to Dante or Lulala, you know, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Nice. And then I guess the last category is, it might be really obvious for you, what is a kind of endless game that you have enjoyed going back?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever played any endless
time
games.
And time again.
I mean, obviously, World of Warcraft, it has that. It does have an end, though. Everything has an end. All it right. just has
right, a Plato. Lot. Fucking hell.
It has a lot of replayability in that you can level up a different character and all that sort of stuff. But there is a start and a finish to an expansion. There's the next expansion, and it has little phases through it, and then there's an end to that. Now, admittedly, you could say, fuck off, Richie. How come there's 19 expansions for that game then? It's not ending. But it's a lot of little separate ends. It's like almost like seasonal play of games. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, as much as it's an MMO and it's never ending, there is definitely an end. And there's also a desire to not play it anymore as well. I think of all the games that I have, there are points where just like, you know what, I'm done, I'm playing something else.
Yeah.
You know, because I guess there's an admin component, or there's, you know what, I'm not fucking playing another alt. Or you know, that sort of thing, you know. Or I'm not leveling up this alt. I'm just concentrating on the main for now, or whatever. But it does also spark extracurricular. Oh god, I look up the guides for the bosses. But yeah, like, I suppose the other game that I haven't mentioned, which is quite a big one in this sort of... Oh, the Dragon Age games. They were good. They were RPGs. I got to the end and I stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also going to say Oblivion. Uh-huh. Like, that is... I mean, that's massive. All of those Bethesda Fallouts and Oblivions, they've been games where I've, you know, I've done what I can with DLC, side quests, and got to the end of the game, and I'm done. Yeah. I'm good. I'm done with playing that game. That being said, there is always a piece of me that's just like, oh, wouldn't it be great to play Skyrim from fresh again? And you're like, you load it up, you sit in the cart, and you're like, oh yeah, this game's great, and then you stop.
That's all I've experienced in that game.
Yeah, well, you've only got past like killing a chicken.
That cave, that first village, and then going up to the town where everyone asks you to join their thing.
Yep.
Yeah, that's as far as I've got with that game. Many times I've played that bit over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much, like, it's really weird because obviously, like, the PC version of it has masses of, what's it called? Community content. Mm-hmm. And, like, different ways of playing it. And, like, they can replace that opening and you start somewhere else and you begin your life as a different dragonborn elsewhere, or, you know, that's so, like, the modding community can extend the life of a game almost infinitely as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. What about you? What endless games have you played?
Well, Pokemon is the obvious one.
Yeah.
But weirdly, as I said before, the one that's supposedly the most open world, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, I feel has one of the hardest endings. I've not gone back to that game. Apart from the occasional updates and doing dailies, you know, where there'll be a new raid Pokemon to get that you can't otherwise get, and I'd get it. But other than that, for the time being, until the DLC comes, I'm just completely satisfied and kind of done. Whereas that wasn't the case with all four of the other ones on the Switch. I put in loads of time into Sword and Shield, and that was breeding, shiny hunting, it was running my old teams through it, so they got, you know, ribbons or optimizing them. For me, that's really the sweet spot, I think, of perhaps what some of these games are aiming for, is if you really like this game, there's lots for you to do. And it's compelling, which I thought Sword and Shield did really well. Even BDSP, Legends Arceus kind of sits somewhere in the middle. That was another game that was
A standalone different thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces to do, but again, that was seen them all, you've caught them all.
Yeah.
This gameplay loop is very fun if you want to come back and do it. But yeah, essentially I've not used gone back to that
no. very much at all. I didn't defeat the end boss character and decided I hated the game. I walked away from that one.
Yeah. Weird.
That game ended.
That game ended with God coming down from heaven and
killing a little girl.
Yeah, in the canon of your game, that's where the world ended. So that's one of my favourite ones. And because I've played the entirety of that series, I mean, you know, it's true of Pokemon Yellow. In fact, the majority of my playtime in those games was after you officially hit the credits. It's just been a pleasure to see that kind of endless play being catered to. So, you know, if you want to spend more time in this world, just enough complexity there that you kind of can, and there's enough scope for you to set your own rules in terms of what you want to do.
So, yeah.
I want to make all my Pokemon genetically perfect, you can do that, or, you know, I want to make loads of money, you can do that, or if I want to beat this battle tower, whatever, you can do that. And for me, that's been, well, I think it's the game I've played the most in my entire life. And I'm quite kind of happy to. But having said that, I think we've talked on this on previous podcasts. There are some games which come out and you take a look at them. So I think the one for me is, every now and then I have a look at it. is the new Monster Hunter game, Monster Hunter Rise, I think it is.
Yeah.
Everything about that game speaks to me. I absolutely love the setting. I love Monster Hunter. It looks beautiful. There's updates galore. But it's just too much. It's too big. So I appreciate it from a distance. You know, I love that there are people out there who for them that is their game or one of the games they put a lot of time into. But yeah, I just know I can't touch it because there will never be, there's never going to be enough time for me to feel like
play the games. Yeah, it's like starting another Animal Crossing for you.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's these games where you, the particulars are a bit older, you're like, oh man, I'm so glad this didn't come out when I was 16.
That's the only time I could have played this game.
I could have played this game, but also that's all I would have done. All I would have done. And it would have been glorious, but also, you know, I'd be 3 years behind my peers because I just played Monster Hunter constantly and there was so much content for me to play through.
Yeah, no, I feel like there's plenty of games out there that I am just like, you know what? I'm not gonna play this one. I am not gonna play, as much as I like Final Fantasy, I am never gonna delve into the Final Fantasy Online. I'm never gonna play Final Fantasy 15 either. Like the bros and the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, I'm good, I'm done. You know, like, I will skip this one. There's probably a bit, I don't know, say 50% of my Steam library that I could say, you know what, I'm not gonna play this. I'm so glad I bought every version of the Tales of series since Tales of Vesperia and have refused to play them.
Yeah. How many hours do you reckon that is?
I would say it's easy, you know, a good 150 hours of, you know, playing through that one. But on top of that, there is the Wikipedia page that you have open. There is the YouTube videos on how to beat this certain tech. You know, so like, you know, there's a lot of time to spend in a game.
There is, and I guess that's the flip side of the games that younger versions ourselves would say, oh, you're absolutely spoiled. You know, when we were looking at...
Yeah.
When we were looking at pixels and polygons, these games would have, you know, blown our minds. But a part of that, a really not that nice part of it, is the work that comes with games. And we've talked about this
admin,
before.
It's
admin, but also I find myself getting so lazy with, you know, sometimes it can be, I've only got this on cartridge. I have to stand up and change the cartridge.
Standing up and sitting down... It's hard for people of our age.
If I want to play this game, that is too much effort for me to want to play, to, you know, to be enough to play this
game. Yeah, yeah.
And I get just increasingly, you know, the more convenient something is, you know, I will play a shit game if it's convenient to play versus a good game that, you know, requires finding the correct controller or going upstairs to get the cartridge. Because it's spoiled, we're so spoiled with all this content.
Yeah.
And there's just too much of it. I was listening to a podcast the other day.
What?
And they made this really, I know, another one, and they made a really good point about, you know, they spent a long, worked in the game industry, in games journalism, I think. And they were kind of saying how they think basically most of their gaming life has been spent chasing the early dopamine hits of your formative games.
Yeah.
When they were novel to you, and you know, we all have that moment, and sometimes it's a concrete moment, sometimes it's a string of moments together of thinking, you know, just with the brain just being hyper excited by, oh my god, the potential of this. But we can never recreate that. Obviously, those first few novel moments, and so everything since, whatever, New Zealand story, Ocean's Batman on the
yeah,
has been chasing that dopamine high, and regardless of how big the graphics get, how large the world map gets, how online a game can be,
but 9 times out of 10 that dopamine hit that you remember is rose tinted. You know, like, you didn't actually do that thing, or you don't remember that thing the same way as it actually did, or you remember feeling around it and it wasn't actually that. Like, it's been so heightened over the past 30 years that it's just, it's like that didn't exist, it didn't happen, it's changed. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's pretty accurate. Certainly when the PlayStation arrived and playing Demo 1, we just lost our minds.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
Right. It's replaying Demo 1 because we just couldn't handle it. Just couldn't believe it. That's the big one that I remember.
Okay. I was just thinking of things like Turrican. I remember playing through... I know. And I have memories of exploration and finding things. And, it was one of these games where you could do a jump and you would find a hidden block that had a one-up in it. You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember it quite rose-tintedly. It was an evil, horrible game. It was hard. And those hidden bits that I remember are literally... the first 30 seconds within the game. It just feels like an epic, a whole era had happened.
Yeah,
but it was just the first bit of the game.
I think that's how your mind condenses particularly strong memories. I think on the podcast I was listening to, they were talking about Elite being that game for somebody.
Yeah.
And the other people who hadn't played it was like, fuck off. just look. So they're like, yeah, I know what it looks like now, but at the time...
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I had a whole galaxy to explore, and this is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at it, and you're like, it's fucking... that's awful, man.
There's a game that... there's a game that I went back and played a couple of years back, Stunt Car Racer.
Stunt Car Racer, right, okay.
And that's basically, you play as a fast car going round a loop and you will do jumps over gaps. However, look up some pictures of Stunt Car Racer. It is awful. And I played this on the Commodore 64 and it was like one frame per second.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But in my head, it was just this amazing, epic.
Oh God, yeah.
And of course, you're like pressing this. I think it's you using a joystick to play through it. It was awful. But for some reason, in my head, it was just this amazing experience of racing and doing jumps. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Right. Is this the end?
Yeah. This is our final fuck you to season 3.
Why do you have to swear? It was going so nicely.
Oh, okay. It's our final farewell to season 3.
Well, there's only one thing left for me to say.
Okay.
That guy's a maniac.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got somewhere to be, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and why'd that motherfucker go and bite me?